Here are the stories of three genocides. The first about the Jewish genocides of World War II, and the second about the Muslim genocide of the Hindus in East Pakistan, now Bangladesh. Anti-Semitism is, of course, both evil and terribly misguided. I can fully understand hatred for the actions of Jews the like of Soros, Harvey Weinstein, or Jeffrey Epstein. But to convict the Jewish race because of these evil individuals is just as bad as convicting all Muslims for the suffering perpetrated by evil Muslim imams, or convicting all Christians for the horrors of those who led the Inquisition. This type of generalization is ignorant and potentially dangerous. But to return to the main topic of the conversation, anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial, I must disclose that my father was Jewish, but in no way religious. So my understanding of Jewish teachings is limited. However, my knowledge of the Holocaust is extensive and comes from the personal experiences of those who survived and related their stories to Barbie and me in great detail. Barbie and I started our book publishing business in 2002 after the dawn of the digital presses, which had significantly lowered the cost of taking a manuscript to a finished book. We had just finished publishing my second and third books for a fraction of the cost of publishing my first book, when it dawned on me that we had developed the skills needed to help others publish their books at a price many could afford. So we decided to start First World Library, which became Groundbreaking Press. Shortly after beginning, Barbie was contacted by her friend, Henry Hertzberger, who shared that his mother was interested in writing a book. Barbie told him to have his mother contact me. Shortly after, Magda called and told me about her success with a workshop called Surviving Difficult Times. I was impressed by her passion and commitment to others and asked her to send her workshop materials so I could determine whether or not she had a book. That's when I learned Magda was a Holocaust survivor, committed to using the knowledge and skills she had learned in surviving three Nazi death camps to help others survive their difficult times. However, after looking over her materials, it became obvious to me that there was a book here, but not the one she wanted to write. I called and told her that we did not want to publish her book on surviving difficult times, but were very interested in publishing her autobiography, beginning with her birth and up through her Holocaust ordeal. I urged her to write this book for many reasons, including never allowing the world to forget the evil perpetrated by the Nazis on the Jews and others deemed non-essential. Also, there were already disturbing signs that America was following in Germany's footsteps. Her book would be a warning that similar evil could happen here. She agreed. Her story began describing her idyllic life in Cluj, Romania, from her birth to the beginning of the Nazi occupation. She was off to a great start. Next, she described how life gradually devolved for everyone from the beginning of the Nazi influence and eventual occupation. But it quickly became obvious that the Jews were specifically targeted for denigration. Next, I asked her to describe in detail what happened in Auschwitz and the two other death camps. I had read the other survivors' stories. They had been unable to describe their ordeal. It was obvious they had been unwilling to relive those experiences, much like soldiers who refused to talk about their war experiences. I encouraged Magda to graphically share this part of her story. We needed to know the full horror of the Nazi death camps. When finished, she told me it was the worst 2 years of her life since the Holocaust, but ultimately the most important thing she had ever done for herself. We worked closely with Magda through the 2+ years it took to finish her manuscript, go through the editing process, and the publication of her book, Survival. It left us with no doubts concerning the horrors of the Nazi regime and how quickly a society can devolve into a place where freedom and liberty are but a distant memory. But we weren't through publishing Holocaust stories. A few years later, I got a call from Tamar Benron, an Israeli woman whose mother had written her story of her life in Poland after the Nazis had taken over her country. Lily was younger than Magda during this time, about 15 years old. Her entire family was executed, and she only escaped because one of her mother's fellow workers hid her from the Nazis and then arranged for her to get a Polish ID. Her story is titled Hidden by Lily Shawish Thaw. Hidden was the term for Jews that escaped by taking on the identity of a non-Jew. This was critical for survival because the Polish people relished the ability to turn over any Jew to the Nazis. They had been convinced by powerful Nazi propaganda that the Jews were the reason for their suffering, that the Jews had stolen all the wealth and left them with nothing. Lily, in order to survive, had left her hometown, since there were others there who knew she was Jewish. She traveled to a new town and told people there that her parents had been killed in the war and she needed work and a place to stay. Eventually, someone from her hometown showed up and threatened to expose her. Through unbelievable luck, she was befriended by a small group of Poles who were protecting any Jews they discovered. At the end, Magda still had her mother, but Lily had no one. She did survive, made her way to Israel, got married, and created a new family. Next, through a friend of ours, Jim Bagnola, we were introduced to M.K. Debnath, who had written his story about surviving the Muslim genocide of the Hindus in East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, when he was only 15 years old. In this instance, Muslim leaders had lied to their followers, telling them that the Hindus had attacked a sacred mosque and must be punished. M.K., a young teenager attending school in a town far from home, found himself in the middle of the mayhem, heard his friends being killed, but survived because of a lucky decision and a kind and honorable Muslim. Ultimately, he was reunited with his parents and siblings, made his way alone to India, where he became a refugee boy, considered the lowest caste in India. The ultimate story of his survival and being reunited with those he loved is one of the best stories I have ever read. I still get teary-eyed whenever I think about it and how it ended so miraculously for him. We lived these three stories through our close personal relationships as editors and publishers of their books. We know the truth of these stories. It was shocking to learn how easily some people can be turned to evil deeds. Most people are good, caring individuals, and they can't imagine that anyone, especially leaders, would consciously create massive lies about others. Therefore, when they are told these lies repeatedly, they begin to believe them. Once they begin to believe, their attitude toward those being lied about changes. This propaganda technique has been used for thousands of years, but it was honed to perfection by the Nazis. Today, we are seeing the leaders of the progressive movement using this evil process effectively against those who disagree with their ignorant dogma. Many have been completely convinced of the truth of both the dogma and the pure evil of those who doubt. The result, they attack those they've been told are enemies with the same glee and passion that the Poles attacked the Jews. So far, we are safe here in Fairfield, a small university town in southeast Iowa. But even here, we are beginning to see the impact of progressive lies of propaganda, a commitment to progressive dogma, and an impatience with those who doubt. As Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed down to them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in the United States where men were free. And I might add, where all people were treated equally and encouraged to live successful, happy lives. Thank you. This podcast is a Groundbreaking Productions production. Copyright 2021, Brad Frager. Written by Brad Frager and Barbara Foley. Produced and presented by Brad Frager.